Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got another really exciting show all the way live from South Africa. And this is Mental Health Matters, KRUU-FM 100.1. And you could email us for show ideas, to be interviewed, to look at other thoughts about what we're doing at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. I am Dr. Scott Terry, and with me today, one of my great interns at the Arden Counseling Center and the Arden Community Wellness Center and Restarting Relationships and the radio show and the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance.
Hi, I'm Lance. You've got me really busy there. That's a lot of stuff. I can't believe I'm doing all of that.
Lance is amazing. And Lance is one of our great interns, really trying to look at what we can do for everybody to make a difference in the world and to train other people to make a difference in the world. We are a training institute as well, which is really nice. So today, live from South Africa, is Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hi.
Hey, Keith, tell us about yourself. We're so excited to hear about you. You're a student in South Africa, and you're going to talk to us about your experiences there, some stuff that happened to you, some things you did to make things better, and what life is like for you out there now. How's that?
That's beautiful.
So, Keith, tell us who you are.
Okay, I'm Keith Shezi. I attended Maharishi Institute in Johannesburg, Invincibility Institute, and I only started doing the TM program last year, so this is our second year, and we're about to do our CDs program.
Great. And so tell us what your life, tell us about Keith.
Okay. Just to give a brief background of South Africa. Well, South Africa, just the life here. You know, okay, I grew up in a black community. We have what we call locations. There's rural areas, which are more like villages, than there's locations. Locations, it's like these structures where it's just black communities put together. This was during the apartheid era. So, growing up from there, you grew up in a family where the fathers are not really present. You usually have one mother, who's usually the grandmother, who's taking care of the whole family. And this could be a family of 9 to 12 people. And you, let's say, you have 5 kids. Let's say 5 of the kids, or 3 of the kids are going to the school. You wake up, they give you your cup of tea probably because there's no bread or there's no food. Then you go to school. Hopefully, there's some form of scheme at school where they feed the kids, then you're very lucky. If there isn't chance in that school, you'll have to wait until you get home until it's at night, and then you can have your proper meal, and then and then the whole day starts again. And there's really no one there to really give you support because the only parents around is at work, you know, and she'll probably come home late or she'll come home in the weekend. So nobody really gives you support emotionally. No one helps you with their homework or whatever. So it's not the best place to really be in if you want an education because of all these factors affecting you. And I happen to grow up in one of those places.
So growing up in an environment like that in a single-parent home, you know, with a lack of resources, and an impoverished
black child grows up in.
Sorry. So Keith, well, Lance, you say it again, because you had a great way of saying it.
Yeah, so I'm hearing, you know, you grew up in this single-parent home in this environment, you know, where there were a lack of resources, it was impoverished. You know, how did you react emotionally and mentally to that? What developed in you as a result of that early experience?
Because you're not the only one going through that, you know, you really don't see what you don't really feel the impact of it because the next door neighbor, you know, and because you usually grow up with other kids around, it's usually just very fun because that takes your mind off of things. But my personal journey started off fine. My father got married, and I had to move to go live with them. I had to meet my mother because my mother was not working, so he could take care of me and he could take me through school, you know. So I moved in with him, but he was hardly ever present, my dad. And it was just me and my stepmom and her kids, and she was very critical, overly critical, verbally abusive, and sometimes physically abusive towards me. So it was a very bad time in my life, and I was just starting high school, and I remember that I had a lot of depression through that. Also, I think that's when I really noticed how bad things were, you know, and how much emotional support one needs. Because one thing, I could say a series of unfortunate events began to happen just as I started moving in with my parents. I lost my brother to a gunshot wound the same year. Then I'd been to a college since I was young, and just one thing after the other happened, and I lost my mother, you know, and since that time, I recall that all of these suffer from nightmares at night. I'd wake up and, you know, I'd ask my old brothers to pray with me, and nothing would really help, and just life was just not the best. And since then, I think I developed, you know, growing up there, I developed a sense of constant sense of anxiety. I was always worried. I was always afraid that something bad was going to happen. Some of us were expecting something bad to always happen. And that was a tormentous experience. Also, the emotional outbursts. I was a very emotional child. My dad used to complain because I'd always talk to him and be like, yeah, but you never wrong and all of this. And he thought it was very strange for a young boy to be emotional. And, you know, it's a culture where boys don't cry, you towards. Yes. And so that had its bearing on me. And I could say I had a lot of potential. I could draw. I could write, you know. I could sing as well. And there was no one there to really harness that. So you go through a lot of that in character where there's just all the talent and there's just nobody there to help you shape it and harness it and to bring out that potential inside.
Yeah, Keith, I mean, that's a harrowing story. There's no doubt the trauma that you suffered and what developed as a result of that. When did things start to turn around for you, and how did that happen?
To be honest, for me, it started turning around when I started doing TM. I had met Mr. Teddy Bletcher, and he told me about this school, you know, and how there was meditation. So I also learned a bit of meditation on the internet, and I was quite interested. And then I decided to come, and then I came, and we saw the benefits of TM, you know, intellectually, emotionally, you know, on the soul plane level, and I was really excited. And then we started doing the TM program, and then over time, I noticed that my anger outbursts just went down. They subsided. You know, somebody could say something, somebody could make me angry, and how I'd normally react wouldn't be the case. I'd just keep quiet, and the constant sense of anxiety stopped. I was now happy. I was now laughing. You know, the nightmares stopped. You know, I'd only dream or not dream at all. And it was quite exciting. It was quite exciting for me because I was like, geez, this stuff really does work, you know. And I know I told my friends about it, encouraged them to do more and more of it. So that's when things really started changing for me.
Wow.
And I was introduced to the program.
So the meditation really helped.
You hear me?
Yes, 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 Keith. The meditation really helped. It sounded like it was a great relief for you. But, yeah. So, but it you know, by the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU FM 100.1, archived. All our shows are archived. Keith, I want to hear a bit more about what. I guess to a different audience, I hear that you grew up with no money and a lot of poverty in a shantytown kind of thing, with a lot of abuse. What why wasn't your father there? I mean, what happened to him? Where was your mother? I got your stepmother was rather abusive and not the funnest person to be with, just put it mildly. But what was going on? And everybody around you, why did nobody have any money, have no resources to make any difference? And how could kids go around all day with no food?
Believe it or not, it does happen. From my side, my home, I grew up in... So my mother and father separated when I was young. They never got married. So I lived with my mother and it's like our grandmother's children in Timbisa. So she wasn't working there, you know. The income we had, she had land which she had rented out so she'd get that, and that still was not enough. So I was forced to move with my dad and my stepmother because my dad had money. And my stepmother was married to my dad. So my dad was hardly ever present. He was around. I remember for some years that she went to UK to go study there. And then when he came back, it was my turn to go to high school, and he thought that, hey, I want my child around. But he was never around, you know. I'd wake up to go to school before he wakes up, and I'd sleep before he comes back at home. So there was hardly any contact. I'd go for months without seeing my dad, but we lived under the same roof.
Wow. So where was he? I didn't understand that. Where was he all day?
No, I moved in with him because he worked and he had income and he could more than afford me, you know. But he was never around. He was an absent father. He'd come at night when we are all sleeping, and I'd leave in the morning to go to school while he was still sleeping. So I never got a chance to see him. I never got a chance to sit on the dinner table and then we're all having nice dinner or any of that because he'd come home really, really late. He'd say it was work, God knows, because even years later, even now, it still happens. You know, so I think something he developed is just, I don't know. So that was the case at home.
Yeah, that's thank you for, you know, telling us more about that, Keith. You know, speaking from personal experience, I come from a home, you know, with an absent father, and, you know, that brings up issues of abandonment, and it causes, you know, emotional outbursts and development issues in terms of your emotions and your intelligence and your cognition, everything that you could think of.
Let alone fear. I mean, just every day, like a sense of attachment and that I'm safe and that I'm okay, you know, especially if the one parent there is abusive to you, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
Very difficult situation, but... you know, it seems evident that TM has helped you tremendously. How long after you started practicing TM did you start to see, you know, some of the good effects, you know, the decrease in the angry outburst and the emotional disturbance?
It was the second or third month into it that I noticed. I know people would say, you know, you start noticing these things, but for me to start realizing, like, whoa, my brother just had a fight with me, and I didn't raise my voice at him, even though he was wrong. You know, I just smiled and I'd look at the other guys around the room, and I'd be thinking, wow. I know nobody understands why I'm laughing at this, but this stuff really does work. And also, all of these wounds, there'd be moments where thought to be triggered, you know, probably something that my dad did or my mom did or something bad that had happened some years ago, and I'd get so overwhelmed with grief and literally my heart would ache and I'd just get so angry. And then that as well, that stopped happening. It's like now I could think of all these things from a detached point of view. I'll be able to forgive those people and learn something significant from that. But before I couldn't detach myself from the emotions. I'd be... The emotions and the thoughts would be one thing, and it was just too much, and I couldn't be able to think of it. I just tried to just suppress those thoughts. But I find that as I went on with my program, you know, I was able to detach emotionally from all these memories, you know, and that also helped me deal with a lot of things emotionally in my life.
You're just meditating. So what you're describing, the nightmares and the hypervigilance like always being waiting for something to happen. The anxiety and the depression goes along with that PTSD. I'm wondering, you know, you're just doing a meditation technique. To somebody who doesn't understand what meditation is, why would that possibly make a difference? You're just, oh.
Did we listen?
Oh, so Keith, so come back to that again. Why would something like just a meditation technique make a difference to you? You're just closing your eyes.
I wonder. What I know is that every time I did that technique, I began to see a difference in my life. You know, I have no idea why the scientific explanation is behind it, but all I know is that it really works from a simple layman's perspective.
Well, that's, I think, the most important one. I think we hear so often from people with statistics and this, you know, and experts. I think it's the layman's perspective, I think, is often what's missing. Like, I don't know why it works. It just does. You know, I think is an important statement. And so you had all these really bad symptoms. Are you telling me that they've all pretty much started to dissipate somewhat?
I'm telling you the honest truth. They all started to dissipate when I started doing the TM program.
Have you also, because you're at, let's say, a healthy school where you're eating healthy and you have healthy people around you, I mean, when you have, if you like I said, if you're growing up in a world where there's all there is other kids and everybody else is in poverty, that's what's normal to you, and everybody doesn't have a dad and everybody else is depressed and angry all the time, you start thinking that's what's normal. But also, if you put yourself in a situation which is healthy and all the people around you are healthy, it gives you the opportunity to change. It's sort of like when we talk to people about stopping, let's say, drinking, and they might go to a rehab center and be around people who aren't drinking, but when they come back home, the difficulty is that they fall back into their old habits because all their old friends are drinking or they expect them to drink. And so putting yourself in a healthy situation is also really essential to getting out of this situation. And so it's not just the meditation. It sounds like it's your whole world. You allowed your world to change.
Yeah, I suppose. Because here at school, which is where we spend most of the time, it's a healthier environment. And to be honest, I look forward to going to school, you know. And also carrying back, you know, when I go back home, I carry this positive energy, which I received from school. And it's quite amazing. All the kids here meditate. It is weird. At first, I thought it was strange that in all the time I've been here, I haven't seen any children fighting against each other. You know, it's like, it's so weird. It's like everybody genuinely cares for each other. And outside there, you know, it's like in normal school, there's a lot of fights and there's a lot of those things happening, but here it wasn't. So the environment as well, I believe, like you're saying, has also helped a lot. And so going back home, you carry this bit of positivity and the little influence that you have with your friends that rubs off, you know, and they can feel a little bit different as well. And so, yeah.
Now, you are a graduate of the Maharshi Institute in Johannesburg. You know, since returning to your normal life, do you feel like maintaining your practice has been something that's easy for you and that you'll be able to continue for the rest of your life?
It's cutting off a bit. Please repeat that.
Yeah, I was just saying I know that you're a graduate of the Maharshi Institute in Johannesburg. And, you know, having learned the practice there was probably a bit easier than, you know, if you had been back home. You're surrounded by people who are doing the same thing. It's, you know, a wonderful environment. But since you've returned to a more so-called normal life, I don't know how normal it is after you start meditating for any of us. It changes things dramatically and profoundly. But do you feel like you've been able to maintain your practice, the regularity of your practice, and do you feel like you will continue to do that for the remainder of your life?
Well, just a point of correction. I'm in second year now, so I'm still doing the program.
Okay.
I'm still studying here.
Well, so then hypothetically, when you finish and you return to normal life, do you feel like you'll be able to maintain the program?
Hold on to it. I will really hold on to it. I will make as much effort as I can to just find that quiet space, you know, just be in that mode and meditate. If not, get a friend whom I know was at school with me, or at least try to keep that contact with people that I know do meditate, because I know of the benefits. And I'd be shortchanging myself if I just throw it all away or just only use some of it. But to the best of my ability, I'd really love to keep what I am learning here.
Yeah, I mean, I love the thought of, again, you found a tool that's really useful for you that you could utilize even when you're not there, but also create an environment. So, for example, just like, if there's negative people around you, it makes you negative. But if you also could be strong and being positive and healthy, you could, in fact, change those negative people to be more positive. You could have an influence on the world around you and bring that world to them, whoever they are.
True.
You're listening to Mental Health Matters, by the way, on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial and archived everywhere. You could email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. And I am Dr. Scott Terry. Mental Health Matters is today talking live to South Africa with a student over there and some horrendous experiences he's had and how they've gotten better. And how his life has been getting better. So Keith, our wonderful student from South Africa today, Keith, how else do you see your life changing going forward? What do you see as the next stage that you'd like to create for yourself now that you're this healthier person?
Okay, my creativity has been unleashed, you know, in depth that I cannot even fathom, you know, because now daily I experience a higher and a deeper level of creativity, you know. I dream of studying a school like this, but mainly business and arts. I'm very passionate about the arts, and that's where I'm going, you know, and that's where I'm headed. I'd love for the kids in that school as well to learn chair meditation, but also the school to have state-of-the-art technology, you know, and to learn good quality education. And also I'd love to create a platform for artists, you know, like have an arts cafe or something to the extent where they can just showcase their talent. Because South Africa, believe it or not, is a lot of talent, and I believe that our art and our talent is the true gold of Africa, you know. From the cave paintings, you know, to the pottery and the clays that we have, you know, we're really a diverse and multicolored racial country, and that's just something that we have, and I believe that we can share it the rest of the world. So that's where I'll be headed.
That sounds incredible. Do you feel that racial tensions have diminished since apartheid is gone? And do you feel that these kind of techniques, like the meditation, and then because you could think more clearly to be a great artist, is the way to go?
Yeah, definitely. I believe that, because there has to be a reason why the children who are meditating at school fight less, you know, with each other. You know, it's like we become more humane towards each other. So I believe that with PM, and the more people from all these different racial groups get into it, the more that racial barrier will be destroyed, you know, the more that racial barrier will come down. Because physically it might have gone down, but mentally in some other people's mind it probably still exists, you know. And no one is going to really show it there, but you hardly see it now, you know. But I believe that the more people probably participate in such things as chair meditation, you know, and such such programs, then we'll really come to a society where we can truly say there are no racial barriers anymore. We can honestly truly say, not from speculation or from whatever, but because we all know that it's not gone.
That's fantastic. And do you feel like racial tensions and political situations have been improving?
Yeah, I believe they have been improving slowly, but surely they have been improving. I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody's heard of Nelson Mandela, but most people don't know what's happened since then.
Oh, no, a lot has happened since then, since Nelson Mandela. Right now, I mean, I was looking at my little sister, you know, and the pictures, and she's got these white friends, you know, and it's like so normal now, and there's more integration with the different races than there has been in the past, you know, and you can see that they're genuinely friends, and they don't even really see that, hey, I'm black and you're white, or whatever the case is. So a lot of that racial tension has gone down.
Yeah. Keith, that's, you know, thank you for sharing that with us. We know that you have a poem that you wrote about your experience. We'd love for you to share it if you'd like.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I titled the poem Still the Water. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. So it goes, still the waters, calm the seas. I close my eyes in order to truly see. It is then that I find that I'm here, where peace and present stillness is the order of the day. As the ripples repose and the waves come to a still, I begin to unbound. As my mantra transfigures and translates, transporting my inner true self, searching not from without but from deep within, for therein lies the solutions. As my consciousness is transported, I am transfigured. I am translated beyond the busy realm of active mind. I transcend. Beyond threshold of mantra and thought, I am back home, boundless in one, united and infinite. Now I know I've been someplace when all that's left when I come to is but a faded memory, and the richness of the fellowship with the unified field pours over, and I find that I'm at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, and walking wise with minimal errors. No more emotional roller coaster rides. Still the waters, calm the seas. Close your eyes and look within, for there within lies the greatest of treasures. Still the waters, calm the seas. Keith Shelley.
Wow, that's absolutely beautiful. What a wonderful expression of your experience and transcendence and unity and diversity, all of those things. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Keith, for sharing that with us. That's wonderful.
And thank you, Keith, so much for joining us today. We'd love to see your art and to see you. And we wish you all the best. It sounds like your life has really shifted out of this really bad place. So I'm really so happy for you, out of this PTSD into a sense of calmness. That's great. Is there anything else you'd like to say to close out today? Keith?
No, I can't think of anything right now, but thank you for your pardon?
Yes, well, thank you, Keith, and thank you, South Africa, and thank you, Lance.
You're welcome. Thanks, Keith.
Bye.
Bye-bye.